Let's begin. Let's start learning. We're entering into that. We're entering into the time to try to understand a little bit, to experience a little bit, to feel a little bit of the Kedushas Hazman, the time that we're in, the day that we're approaching, the days that we're approaching. What is it that the Avelus is about? I think this is one of the hardest times of the year. It's just difficult for people like ourselves. Each one has his or her own complaints about that chelik, that portion that God has given. Nevertheless, the destruction of Yerushalayim, the golus of the Jewish people, is not usually high in the list of complaints. So let's begin. The Gemara at the beginning of Brachos. Tanya Rabbi Yossi. Every year I try to understand this Gemara. This is a Gemara that's been following me everywhere my entire life. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Pamacha Seisi Mahalach B'derech. Rabbi Yossi said, once I was walking along a road, a path, V'nechnasti l'churva achas mi'churvas Yerushalayim l'hispalel. And I went into one of the ruins of Yerushalayim to daven. Uvo Eliyahu zoch l'toiv, v'shomer li al ha-pesach, v'himten li ad shesiyamti tfilosi. And Rabbi Yossi said that I met over there Eliyahu Hanavi, and he guarded the opening of this ruins until I was finished davening. When I was finished davening, Eliyahu Hanavi said to me, Rabbi Yossi said, that Eliyahu Hanavi said to me, Shalom Alecha Rabbi. Amarti lo Shalom Alecha Rabbi Amari. And I answered, Shalom Aleichem Rabbi. Eliyahu said, my child, why did you go into these, into this place, into the ruins? And he said to Davin. And he goes on to say something that he learned, Rabbi Yossi learned from this encounter with Eliyahu Navi. And then the Gemara says, Omali, Eliyahu Navi said to me, Bini, Ma kol shamata b'churva zu. Eliyahu Navi said to me, my son, my child, what sound, what voice did you hear? Did you hear anything when you entered into those ruins? Amarti lo shamati bas kol shamahem is kiyoyna. I heard a voice from Shemayim, from heaven, that was wailing or making a sound like a yoyna, like a dove. V'meris oishe hechravti es beisi v'seravti secholi v'heglesi es bonai leven ha'akum. And the voice that was coming from above said, oishe hechravti es beisi, that I destroyed, Hashem is crying, oh, that I destroyed my house, v'seravti secholi, and I burned my sanctuary, v'heglesi es bonai leven ha'akum, and I exiled my children among the Akum, among the non-Jews. Omerli, so Eliyahu Hanavi said to me, Bini, my son, Chayecha v'chaye reishcha, lo yishol zubul vadim reizkach, ala b'chol yoyim v'yoyim shol ish pomim reizkach. Eliyahu Hanavi said to Rabbi Yossi, you should know that this cry of Hashem over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, this isn't only once a day, or it's not only when you happen to walk in that you heard this, but three times a day. And not only that, Eliyahu Hanavi continues, and not only that, Ela b'chol zman sheYisrael nechnosen levate knesios levate medroshes, whenever the Jewish people, whenever Jews go into shuls and to bate medroshim, v'oinen amen yehei shmei rabba, and answer kaddish by saying amen yehei shmei rabba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu menaneh roisha, that Hashem nods his head, v'oimer, and says, Ashrei HaMelech shemakal snoisa v'beisoy kach, and Hashem nodding his head, The nodding of the head here is a very deep gesture. We don't have time to talk about that. But Hashem nods his head and says, how fortunate is the king who is praised in his house in such a way. Umaloi la'av, but what is a father going to do? Shehigla hazbonav, a father who sent his children into exile, levain ha'akum among the nations, v'oylahem lebonim shegolim yal shulchan avihem. And oylahem, and woe to the children who have been exiled from the father's table. That's the Gemara. There are many, many questions about this Gemara. Maybe I'll talk about it more next week. There's a tremendous simcha, there's a tremendous joy. The Jewish people, in their state of exile and disgrace, when the Jewish people go into shul, go into Beis HaMedrash, and answer Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah, that Hashem rejoices when he hears that. How fortunate is the king who is praised in his house. At the very same moment, Hashem says about himself, what's going to be with the father who has sent his children into exile? So we have to understand, what is it that's unique? What happens with Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah? What is it? Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah. That's what we're so used to saying, Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah, from the time that we're children. Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah by Kaddish. And this very strange interfacing of Hashem's grief, Hashem's anguish, Hashem's crying, and his pride and joy that the Jewish people still say Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah. And I mentioned to you many times every year at this time, I tell you the very strange story of the Holy Rebbe of Kaidanov, that on Tisha B'Av he was dancing, and after he finished, so some of the Chassidim had the courage to ask him, how could he dance on Tisha B'Av, L'simcha Ma'azawaisa, what's the joy? What reason is there to dance on Tisha B'Av? And the Kaidanov answered by saying that on Tisha B'Av there's a mitzvah to mourn, to be in mourning. And a Jew has to perform all the mitzvahs with great joy. It's a hard story to understand. It's hard enough to observe the joyous mitzvahs with joy. And how do we resolve, if it's necessary to resolve, this contradiction? Slichas on Erev Rosh Hashanah. There's a line in Slichas, at last Erev Rosh Hashanah caught my attention, and I wanted to talk to you about it. In Slichas, Goyla acha Goyla Golsa Yehuda Kula, exile upon exile, Goyla acha Goyla, exile after exile, Golsa Yehuda Kula, the entire Yehuda, the Jewish people, have experienced. Dova kol hayom v'chola. Mourning the Jewish people, or Yehuda, is in a state of mourning the entire day. V'chola is destroyed. Doresh u'mavakesh ein lo. There is nobody. There is nobody who is seeking the welfare of Yerushalayim and of her inhabitants. And then we end with the request from Hashem that seeing this terrible state of the Jewish people, so v'shuv berachmim al sheiris Yisrael v'hishyenu l'man shemech. Hashem, return with compassion, with love to the remnant of Yisrael, to those of us who remain, and redeem us and save us for the sake of your name. So it's an odd thing. Goyla acha goyla. Golus after golus. Golus a Yehuda. Golus, the meaning of golus, the meaning of exile, is when the nation, a nation or an individual is driven from his place. That's called golus. You would like to stay, that's your place, but you can't stay. The fact that somebody who's already in golus schleps around all over in golus . That's just part of the original golus. We have to understand the meaning of goyla acha goyla, which doesn't mean the simple pshat, of course, the way to understand would mean the first Beis HaMikdash, perhaps, the second Beis HaMikdash. In other words, one exile, then there was a second exile. But when you daven it, when I davened this, I felt that the Paiton, that the author, was describing a golus within a golus. Golus squared. It's not just chronologically golus acha gol. Goyla acha goyla. There was a golus and then there was another golus. Every time a person goes from point A in golus to point B in golus, that's not called goyla acha goyla. If you're not home, that's golus. If you're not home, you're in golus. Whether you're 100 miles away, you're 1,000, so it's a bigger golus, a smaller golus, but when you leave, when you're forced away from home, that's called golus. So what's the meaning of goyla acha goyla? It sounds like there's a golus within the golus. Many times in the Torah, a form of the word lekicha or lakoach lamed kuf ches, which means to take. The word lekicha, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with, it's a very common Hebrew word, lakachas. Ani lakachti, at lakachta, and so on. Many times that word is used in reference to people being taken. People being taken. Vayikhu is light. They took Lot. Vayikach Korach is probably the most famous. And Korach took. Kach is Aaron. Take Aaron. Now Rashi has a rule. Rashi has a rule Rashi tells us in many places that the word lekicha, to take, cannot really be used when speaking about people. We might say, I'll take you for a ride. I'll take you someplace. But Rashi believes that the word lekicha, lekachas, cannot be used, it's not proper when speaking about people. Therefore, he always interprets the word lekicha when it's used in the context of individuals, of human beings. He always explains that it's referring to the person being emotionally or intellectually taken somewhere. For instance, the one that you're most familiar with, where it says, Vayikach Korach. And the question is, what did Korach take? All right, so Rashi says a few things, Vayikach Korach. So Rashi says, Moshach Roshes and Hedrois Shabahem Bidvar. That the word Vayikach, the pshat is that he took the leaders of the Jewish people. He enticed them to join his party, his rebellion. So when it says Vayikach Korach, Rashi interprets, it doesn't mean he went over and he grabbed people. Korach didn't go and grab people, because the word Rashi says, lekicha, taking, is not used for human beings. It's used for objects. So what is Vayikach Korach? So what does it mean that he took Korach? So Rashi explains that Vayikach Korach means that he spoke to the leaders. And with his words, he was able to seduce them, to draw them over to his side, to convince them to look at things his way. So Rashi is consistent with this throughout Tanakh, that when speaking about people, lakachas means lakichas halev. It means to emotionally move someone from one way of thinking to another way of thinking. Now, in order to understand this, we have a teaching from the Chassam Sofer. To understand the Pshat in Rashi, a teaching from Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes that if you grab a person, and many Jews have been grabbed, if you grab a person and you force that person, Bal Korcho, you force him to move, you pull him somewhere. So the Chassam Sofer says that you haven't really moved the real him, the real person. Because the Chassam Sofer describes this as Ze Eino Ela Tiltul Gush Ofar. If the person's heart, if the person's mind remains attached to a certain place, the fact that you physically grab him and force him to come with you, vayikach, and you pull him towards you. So the Chassam Sofer says that's not really moving the person. Because the etzem, the essence of the person, is his das, his intellect, his machshava, his thoughts, his lev, his heart, his emotions. Therefore, although you can grab a person and pull him away from somewhere, you have moved that clump of dirt. That's the way the Chassam Sofer describes it, and that's basically what we are. You have moved that clump. Well, now we would say chemicals. You have moved it. But in terms of the essence of who that person is, the ishios, the personality, the feelings, and so on, the person remains at home, or remains in the place where he or she wants to be. Unless you can take the person's heart. And that's what Rashi explains. Vayikach Korach means he took away the hearts. He moved the intellects and the hearts of the leaders of the Jews towards him. That's what Korach took. Because if they would have been dragged away in chains, but their thoughts and feelings would have been with Moshe Rabbeinu and with Aaron, then in terms of who they really were, we would say they were never moved. So although you can physically move a person, until you've actually convinced that person that he or she belongs with you, until that time of Meshichas Halev, Rashi uses that term, Meshichas Halev, the drawing of the heart, the pulling of the heart, until the person's mind and heart are found in a new place, then really, really, the person remains in the old place. Because the essence of man is his machshava, his thought. And this is a yesod, this is a very fundamental principle in the teachings of the Holy Baal Shem. This is explained at length in the writings of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef in Parshas Noach and in other places, and the writings of the Baal Shem's grandson, the Degel Machne Freud, and many of the tzaddikim refer to this concept. That a person is where his thoughts are. I'm sure many of you have heard the famous story from the Holy Rebbe of Lev Yitzchak Berditchev, that after davening he went over to somebody and he welcomed him to Berditchev. And the person said, "But Rebbe, where was I?" So the Berditchev said, "I wanted to welcome you back from you were at the fair in Lemberg, the great fair in Lemberg." So he said, "Rebbe, I've never been there. I've never left Berditchev or the surrounding villages." So the Berditchev said, "It's not true. By davening, you were in Lemberg. You were mamish. I wanted to welcome you back to Berditchev." Can you imagine if there'd be like announcements, like they have in the airport, flight 323 to flight 323 to Lemberg to London. We'll be leaving in 15 minutes. Comes out by Shemoneh Esrei time, right? And your flight is leaving, and you have the Kedushas Levi welcome you home after davening. So the Bedichev was telling him, Rav Yid, I know that you never left Bedichev. That means the gush offer, the clump of chemicals, never left. But that's not who you are. You could be standing in shul and shokling and davening, but your mind is a million miles away, and that's where you are, where your machshove is. It's a principle in the teachings of the Baal Shem. And I want to explain, because this idea is so important, I want to make this clear to you, al pi halach, to understand that this svara, this idea, is not a nice vort. It's not a nice idea, catchy thing to say at a Shabbos table, a little drasha, but this is a svara, this is a principle, a thought, that functions on a Torah level. It's real. Because the Torah determines what's real. So I want you to understand that a pidin, in halacha, that this principle operates. In halacha. The Gemara says, in Brachas, Hayayimed b'chutz la'aretz, if a person has the misfortune of living outside of Eretz Yisrael, Mekaven es liboy keneged Eretz Yisrael, then he should direct his heart to face Eretz Yisrael. It means direct his heart emotionally and physically to face Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara goes on to say that if you're standing in Eretz Yisrael, then you should turn your heart towards Yerushalayim, and if you're in Yerushalayim, you should turn your heart to the place of the Holy of Holies, to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Har HaBayis, and if you're by the Har HaBayis, to turn your heart and your body to face the Holy of Holies. Nimtze kol Yisrael mekavnim es libam l'mokim echad. So the Gemara says, and the result of this is that all the Jews, wherever they live throughout the world, are directing themselves towards one place. So Divrei Yoel, the Sapan Rav Schusi again, Elenu explains, and Pashas told us. The Sapan Rav wrote that the point of this is that the Torah wants that every single Jew should be in Yerushalayim. That you should daven in Yerushalayim. And you have to daven in Yerushalayim. And he says that when a person's heart is in Yerushalayim, then it's as if he's there, but Poel Mamish. It's as if he's Mamish there. And if one can't conceive of this, there's a Ramban. Now listen carefully. There's a Ramban, his Chidushim and Erevin, Daf Yud Zayin. The Ramban asks a very strong question. I'm sure that most of you know that there's a law of the Torah. Some say it's Midrabanan, it's of rabbinic origin. But Rabbi Kiva, and that's what's important for us right now, Rabbi Kiva holds it Midaraisa. You know that there's a law called Tchumin, the laws of, I guess we can call them like the statute of limitations with Hilchos Shabbos, which means that when you're living in a certain city, you know that the Torah allows you 2,000 amos. The Torah says, al yetze ish b'mkomo, that a person shouldn't leave his place on Shabbos. And the meaning of that is that everybody has 2,000 amos in each direction to walk on Shabbos from his city. And how this is measured and so on, that's a very big subject in halacha. It's not important to get into right now. We don't really experience this so much in the city because of the size of New York and the outlying metropolitan area, which goes on somewhere to Los Angeles, I suppose. Although I'm just joking, because obviously there are places even upstate where you have to be careful to know how far you can walk, because you have 2,000 amos in the place that you make Shabbos. 2,000 amos in each direction. And that's called Tchumen. the Tchum Shabbos. Now you also know that there's something called an Erev Tchumen, which means that if you would like to go 4,000 Amos in one direction, instead of using your 2,000 in each direction, you would like instead to magically pull from the other side and pull out another 2,000 Amos so you can go 4,000 in one direction, because there's somebody you want to see. There's something you'd like to do, or somebody you'd like to visit on Shabbos, but the person is 3,800 Amos away. So what you can do is, Erev Shabbos, you take over there the equivalent of a meal, according to Halacha. And in that place, you establish a Mokam Shvisa. You've heard of this. You establish what's called a place of resting, a house. Then you can stretch the direction and that additional 2,000 Amos to the place where you set up shop Erev Shabbos, even though you're not staying there right now. And Rabbi Akiva holds that Chumen, that measure of 2,000 Amos, that you have 2,000 Amos in each direction, that's Midaraisa. That's from the Torah. So the Ramban asks a very powerful question. According to Rabbi Akiva, and I know there are some of you that when you hear halacha, you start to get nervous. So bear with me. It's just another moment. The Ramban asks, how could it be? How could the Chachamim come along? According to Rabbi Akiva, who says that the prohibition to go beyond the 2,000 is in the Torah. How could the sages come along and say that you have this magical, mystical thing that you could do? That through the power of a takonas chazal, of an enactment of a law or a suggestion of the sages, that you can be matir in issa deraisa b'kumvasei, that you can actually, it seems, override a prohibition of the Torah. The Torah says, I can't go beyond the 2,000 Amos. And the Chacham came along and said, yes, you can. Just put a piece of bread over there to the next point, to that point, and that will stretch it to 2,000, to another 2,000. Then you get another 2,000. You put that air of Tchumen at the 2,000, and that'll give you an additional 2,000 from that point. So the Ramban is, how could you do that? How could the rabbis come along and say to do such a thing when the Torah says you can't do it? The Torah says you have 2,000 in each direction. So the Ramban writes clearly that all Chazal are teaching us is that if a person's mind is on a certain place, that means if Erev Shabbos on Friday, the person went over to that place at the end of the 2,000, and he put his food there, and he said in that place, Tehei Shvisosi B'mokum Ploini, that my resting place, my home, is in that place, then the Ramban says that then fits into the category of Al Yedzei Ish Mimkomo. It is called your mokum. And what makes it your mokum, your place, what designates that as your place, is the fact that Erev Shabbos, your intention was, and you did a symbolic act to show, even though you're not staying there, but your intention was to establish that symbolic place as a temporary residence. And because of that, the Ramban says, that is called your mokum. Therefore, the Chachamim are not telling you that you have the ability to override a Torah law. What they're saying is that according to the Torah, the definition of a person's place is the place he wants to be. That the definition of one's place is where your mind is, where you want to be, where you establish yourself emotionally, that's your place. And therefore, when the Torah said, Al Yetzei Ish Mimkomo, that no one should leave his place, that's called your makom. Are you not there now? You've established it as a makom. You've invested yourself into that place. Therefore, you understand that this concept that we have from the Chassam Sofer, from the Talmidei HaBaal Shem, that a person is where his thoughts are, that concept operates on a Torah level. It really works. And now we can understand a few things. The Gemara in Ksubas brings a pasuk in Tehillim Pei Zayin, Ulid Zion Yeomar Ish Ve'ish Yulad Ba. That means, as it's understood by the Mefarshim, that the Mevaser, the one who is going to tell Yerushalayim that the redemption has come, that the Mevaser is going to go to Tzion, is going to go to Yerushalayim and say, Ish v'ish yuladba. That means that Elionovi is going to come and tell Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, wake up, I have good news. All of the children, all of those who were born in this city of Yerushalayim, they're coming home. All of the natives of Yerushalayim are returning home. Ulutzion Yeomar. This is the wonderful news. Ish v'ish yuladba. Whoever was born here, Yerushalayim, is returning home. That's what Yerushalayim is going to be told. The good news. So Gemara says over there. Echad ha'noyladba, ve'echad ha'mitzapa l'raisa. So you and I are thinking, boy, that's pretty depressing because I know I was born in Queens. And some of you were born in even stranger places. And the Novi says to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, listen, Yerushalayim, what good news I have. All of your natives are coming home. And then all of us from Queens and all the suburbs of Queens are standing around thinking, oh, we're not included in that simcha, and that besura toiv, and that good news to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, no, it's not just talking about when it says Yulad Ba, those who are natives of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says it means Echad Anoilad Ba ve'Echad Mitzap L'Raisa. It means all those who were born physically in Yerushalayim and all those who never even saw Yerushalayim, who never stepped foot in Yerushalayim, but they've been living with that longing to see her. Who've been living with that longing to return. All those who consider Yerushalayim their home will be on that list that Elionovi presents to Yerushalayim, a list of all of Yerushalayim's natives. So you understand, based upon what we just learned, we understand that if a person's machshava, if a person's thoughts, if a person's feelings are deeply attached to Yerushalayim, are deeply attached to Eretz Yisrael, then it's midaraisa. The Torah considers it as if you're mamish there, as if you're there. And this is why the Chachamim came along and said that it's absolutely essential that every Jew who davens face Yerushalayim, and that's what the Satmar Rav was explaining. That by facing Yerushalayim, it's not this nice romantic thing that my heart is in Jerusalem. It's not just a nice thing. Nimtza kol yisrael makavna liba l'mokam echad. It means that an amazing thing is happening. That every single Jew in the world who is davening in that direction, that means turn your heart to be makavna the lave to Yerushalayim. Every Jew whose heart is facing Yerushalayim is standing mamish at the Kaisel. Is standing in Yerushalayim. Somebody showed me that you could turn on a button on the internet and it'll show you what's happening at the Kaisel at the moment that you're turning on the machine. People who have minds and hearts don't have to have machines like that. Maybe for other things. But if you ever had the privilege of touching the Kaisel or smelling it, or even dreaming about it, if you haven't had the privilege of being there yet. So it means that you have the ability to be filled with a tshuka, with a longing, to establish that as your home, as your place. And at least, Hashem said, for the moments that you're davening, at least during that time that you're davening, set up your house right there by the Har Habayis, be in that place. It's mamish, like the Satmar Rebbe said, it's poil mamish. You're mamish standing there. And that's why, by the way, it's brought down in the Svarim HaKadoshim that if somebody is having difficulty concentrating by davening at any point during davening, one of the most powerful machshavas you could have, one of the most powerful thoughts or meditations that you could have, to focus on davening and to awaken within yourself a feeling of inspiration, is by trying to imagine yourself standing at the kaisel, at the wall. Try to imagine. So now we're ready to understand something. And here I want to say, Dvarim Pshutim Ha'ay, very simple. Very, very simple. That's the most difficult part so far of this discussion. Very posh now. Even when the Jewish people throughout history were schlepped away from Yerushalayim, even when the Jewish people were forced into Golos, the only part of us that they were able to take into Golos was, as the Chassam Sofer described, Tiltul Gush V'Ofer. The only part of the Jewish people and of the Jewish person that was able to be torn away from Yerushalayim was the physical body. And Rashi revealed to us this deep, deep lesson, that there's no such thing as forcing the essence away. You could only take the physical body away, but Likicha doesn't apply to the heart and to the soul. So therefore, even though it's true that our enemies dragged us away from Yerushalayim, nevertheless, we never really left. For a long time, we never really left Yerushalayim. We were never moved from Yerushalayim, because the machshava, the thought, the tshuka, the longing of the simplest Jews, of the simplest Yidlach in the world, those feelings, those thoughts were always attached to Tzion, to Yerushalayim. And the rule is that a person is where his thoughts are, and where his longing is. And that was the matzav, that was the situation of the Jewish people for many, many, many years now, Golos. Until, to the point that we even swore, through the words of David HaMelech, Emeshkacheich Yerushalayim Tishkach Yimini. Im loyelas Yerushalayim al reisim chasi. Im eshkacheich Yerushalayim tishkach yimini. That if I forget Yerushalayim, let my right arm lose its strength. In other words, I can't forget Yerushalayim. And the Chachamim enacted all types of takanas, laws, to prevent our minds from drifting away from Yerushalayim. That we shouldn't be taken away, even though physically we've been taken. But that the essence of who we are should remain intact in Yerushalayim. And because of that, the simplest Jews everywhere in the world were filled always with a tremendous tzipia, a longing for redemption, a longing to return. And the description that we have, the historical descriptions of the kind of crying and mourning that would take place, not only in Tisha B'Av, but throughout the year, the way the Jews sat by Tikkun Chatzos, by midnight, in short, throughout history, the Jewish people refused to make peace, to come to terms with that reality. The physical reality of Golos was true. You're not in Yerushalayim. If you're, God forbid, in Warsaw, Berlin, New York, London, Paris. So the gush, the offer, the clump of dirt, is in New York, in Krakow, in Warsaw. But the Rabbi Yehuda Alevi, we don't have time to read. Really, we should read the whole piyut of Rabbi Yehuda Alevi. Siya in Halis Ishali, L'shlema Sirayich, Chai in Neshoma Savi Artseich. The way that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi describes, Yehuda Halevi was a Jew whose whole life wanted to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and you know that he was able to return, and when he arrived, when he came finally, so he was killed. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, when he speaks about Yerushalayim in such a way, about Eretz Yisrael in such a way, Chai in the Shomas, the life of our souls, Avi Aretzach, the air of Yerushalayim is the life of our souls, to breathe the air of Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Yehuda Levi said, look at the piyut, we say it on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yehuda Levi said that if only he could fly like a bird to Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael, if only he could walk barefoot upon the ruins of Jerusalem. Ashrei mechakev yegia v'yir alayis oireich. And how fortunate is the one who is longing for and waiting for the dawn of Yerushalayim. This was the matzav of the Jewish people. This was the way that we lived for thousands of years. In such a way. So physically we weren't in Yerushalayim, but our heart and our minds remained there, and because of that we couldn't come to terms with the mitzias, with the reality that had torn us away from that place. And the crying and the screaming and the begging to return filled our lives. And here's where we come to the Avelus, to the mourning. And please try to feel this and think about it. Because otherwise Tisha B'Av is a game. Otherwise the 3 weeks are a game. B'Avin Asinu HaRab, because of our many sins, and because of the length of Golus, the difficulties of this exile, that feeling, that hergish, of Mibnei Chato'enu Galini Me'atzeinu V'Nisrachachtem Yelad Maseinu, that feeling that we can't bear to be away from Yerushalayim, that feeling to a large extent has died. And there's an explanation of the Tanya. It's true, Mibnei Chato'enu Galini Me'atzeinu, it's true that because of our sins we were sent away from the land. And Hashem did that. He took us away from the land. But V'Nisrachachtem, but that we find ourselves emotionally far from Eretz Yisrael, emotionally, we did that. V'nisrachachnu, we made ourselves far away. Because for thousands of years, although we were physically away from Yerushalayim, we weren't away from her. We were there. But v'nisrachachnu, the Baal Tanya says, v'nisrachachnu, may Allah send us, that we made ourselves feel distant from the land. It came to a point where all of these expressions to return to Yerushalayim, to go back, have been diminished to pitiful songs like ay ay ay, ay 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 ay. And it astounds me that the way that the kind of dances that have been arranged, l'kovod Yerushalayim, l'kovod Mashiach Tzidkenu, in honor of Mashiach, Hashem Yirachem. How could it be? How could such silliness and superficiality and stupidity surround Yerushalayim? Or enclose the longing for Yerushalayim? So the Teretz says the answer is that feeling for Yerushalayim, that longing to be there has descended into a state of mitzvah sanoshim l'mada, that it's something that we don't really feel, it's something that we just talk about, because we're supposed to say it. But in terms of who's actually crying, who actually feels that longing for Yerushalayim? Many people, most people, many Jews, observant Jews, during the 3 weeks are mostly concerned about what kind of haterim are there. Am I permitted to take a shower like this on the 9 days? How can I get away with doing my laundry during the 9 days? Is it possible for me to stuff myself with some meat on the 9 days? I heard that there's a certain posuk that says that if your cousin in Australia finished Olive Bays, you're allowed to make a siyum. And you're allowed to have meat. There was a place in this neighborhood that had signs advertising that they have a siyum every night in the restaurant. Not that there's anything wrong, and there were tzaddikim who said you should try to make a siyum. There were tzaddikim who said that it's good. But that tzaddik was talking about people who felt a need to revive their souls. But this avelus, this so-called avelus, you know that at the time that the second base of Mikdash was destroyed, there was an opinion that was popular among the Chacham to make a gezerah, to make a decree, never to eat meat again. At all. And I don't know about you, but for me that would present major problems. Never to eat meat again. Not to marry, not to have children, not to go on. And the reason that that wasn't passed, that wasn't accepted, is because you can't make a decree that we can't possibly observe. It's too much. But lemaisa me'ikir hadin, really? That's what should have been decreed. And our shilas have been diminished to questions of, well, am I allowed to use a can of aerosol on Tisha B'Av? Oh, I can't believe it. You mean I can't brush my teeth? What if I don't swallow? I can't believe it. And the correcting and complaining about a couple of days, that how many people are able to keep even this decree without trying to find it. I'm not saying one should look for stringent. So the Jewish people began to experience a golus that became more pleasant. And when the exile became more pleasant and we became more immersed in the pleasures of physical life, so to what degree does a person feel that he's missing the Beis HaMikdash? To what extent do we feel that the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, is missing from our lives? And isn't it true? Isn't it true that the whole Indian of keenness on Tisha B'Av, saying the keenness which go on for hours, isn't it true that it's ka'ol al tzavareinu, that it's become a burden for us? And that thought that we don't share with others, or if you're, God forbid, so lost to share it with somebody, the thought of, where can I find the quick keenness? Where do they say it quickly? And if you get stuck in a place that there's some rav, there's some rebbe or somebody, some rosh yeshiva that's cursing and crying, then it's your terrible misfortune to have such pain and suffering on Tisha B'Av, to listen to keenness for 3 hours. And people are looking for ways, how do I escape this? How do I get out of this? The entire longing and expectation and hope for Mashiach Tzidkenu, for redemption, for salvation, for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, has been diminished in a terrible way. So now we can understand what we say Erev Rosh Hashanah, and this part of our attempt to return to Hashem for Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. Goyla Acha, Goyla, Golsa Yehuda Kula. Golus after Golus. The Jewish people are in a state of Golus after Golus. And I asked at the beginning, what does that mean, Golus? Goyla Acha, Goyla. If you're not home, you're in Golus. If you're not home, then you're in exile. So what's the meaning of Goyla Acha, Goyla, Golsa Yehuda Kula? That the Jewish people are in a state of Goyla Acha, Goyla. So maybe this is the meaning. That in the beginning, for many, many years, the only Golus that existed was that those physical clumps of chemicals found themselves in Lublin and in Warsaw and in Hungary and in Yemen and Morocco and so on, b'chol mekoymas pizureinu, and all of the places of our exile. But in the beginning it was a golus. It was only one level of golus, because in the beginning only the gufim, only the bodies were in Golus. But we learned from Rashi, in the explanation of the Chassam Sofer and the Sof Rebbe and all the tzaddikim, that a person, that you can never take really the essence of the person by force. So even if the person is forced to live someplace, but if his neshom, of his heart and his soul are still in Yerushalayim, then he's only in one level of Golus, physical Golus. And for many, many years, even though we were taken from the land, we were still chavukim udvukim, we were embracing it, and we were attaching ourselves to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim. And mimela, it was as if we were all actually there. On a certain level, since we learned that midaraisa, we could say such a svara, that from the Torah, such a reality, a metaphysical reality exists, that your thoughts are an Eretz Yisrael, so you're an Eretz Yisrael. But over the years, our hearts and our minds became detached from the land, became detached from Eretz Yisrael. And that is the second level, that's the deepening of the Golas. Because as long as there were Jews who were begging for, demanding, and waiting for the return, it was one Golas. Goyla acha goyla, the reason for goyla acha goyla, one Golas within another Golas. That's the real Golas. The real Golas is that we've been taken away. We've taken ourselves away emotionally, intellectually. We've taken our hearts away from Eretz Yisrael. Umimela, the result of that is goyla acha goyla golsa Yehuda kula. And then that's why the Python, the poet, ends by saying, ki doyresh umavakesh engla. Goyla acha goyla, why are we in a state of goyla acha goyla? Why are we now really in goylas? Because until now, even though our enemies forced us away from the land, but that's where we really were, because you can't take a person away from where he wants to be. But when that wanting to be in Eretz Yisrael stopped, when that became less, when we fell into a state of ki doresh umavakesh ein la, there is no one who is seeking and begging to return. So that's goyla acha goyla. That's the double golas. It doesn't mean a different place. It means a different personality, a different perspective, a different way of wanting. Goyla acha goyla golsa Yehuda kula. Ki doresh umavakesh ein la. So now what happened some years ago, Jews began to go back to Eretz Yisrael. I want to speak about Dvarim Pshutim, Umach, even things that are painful. So Jews began to return. And there are many, many Jews, maybe even some here, who began to feel that after all, since Sof Kol Sof, since after all, the land of Israel is now under the control of Jews. Now Jews are in charge of Eretz Yisrael. That area of control is becoming less and less as we speak. But since Jews are in control of Eretz Yisrael, and not only that, but for those of you who have been there, you've seen wonderful progress. Yerushalayim has been built in the most beautiful way. The last mayor of Yerushalayim, did a great deal to beautify the city with parks and new buildings and so on. And there are many yeshivas, Bor Hashem, and Mekayim Yisrael Torah. So there are many people who feel that since the United Nations declared that piece of real estate now belongs to the Jews, so mimela, the result of that is that there's really not so much to be so upset about. It's not so much, I mean, the Avelis was diminished. The sense of mourning, whatever little remained, was diminished even more. Because Sof Kol Sof, Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. We can go to Eretz Yisrael and buy t-shirts that say Coca-Cola in Hebrew. We can buy newspapers in Hebrew. We can read street signs in Hebrew. You can watch movies where Hebrew is spoken. Anybody who thinks that, anybody who feels that, Poshet simply does not have the beginning of understanding of what the Avelis, of what the mourning of Yerushalayim, of what Tisha B'Av is about, of what the 3 weeks are about, of what waiting for Mashiach is about. That's what the Gemara means. Shemati bas kol shem nehem is kiyoyne. Rabbi Yossi told Eliyahu HaNavi, I heard the scream. I heard Hashem crying. Woe to my children that because of their sins I had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And I had to burn my holy sanctuary. The Iglesias born, I live in Oivde Kachovim, and I had to send my children into exile among the nations of the world. And Chazal say in the Medrash and Eicha, Miyoyim shecharva Yerushalayim v'charv beis hamikdash kivyochel ein simcha lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That since the day that the Holy Temple was destroyed, that kivyochel there is no joy in Shemayim, there's no joy in heaven. Do you understand? After the Balfour Declaration, after the United Nations, after all those imposters that are sitting in the Knesset, with all of that, the Gemara says, ein simcha, the Medrash says, Hashem has no joy. It's hard to imagine. There's no simcha, there's no joy since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Ein simcha lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad she yivnes Yerushalayim, until Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. V'yachzer Yisrael atoicha, and the Jewish people will return to Yerushalayim with Mashiach with the Beis HaMikdash. So the problem with people who feel the avelus has become less, the mourning is even less, because after all, Yerushalayim is in pretty good shape when we have a place. And everybody goes around screaming and yelling about that how come we can't build another house in this place, another house in that place, and what's going on with the Palestinians and so on. You know what that velus is? The mourning is not because the land was taken and now the land was given back, because the land itself is a clump of dirt. The velus is that since the day the temple was destroyed, Hashem's name is disgraced in the world. The Jewish people are mocked and scorned. The Torah is the laughing stock of existence. That since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Shekhinah, the Holy Divine Presence, was forced away from Yerushalayim and is standing with torn clothing crying over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Oyli she'achrafti es beisi v'sarafti es eicholi. The chila Hashem in the world, the absence of Kovet Shemayim, the Kovet Shemayim that's not in the world, the Kovet Shemayim. The state of Israel has brought more Kovet Shemayim to the world for the Jewish people. More Kovet Shemayim. There's no Kovet Shemayim in the world. The honor of the master of the world is in a state of destruction. There's no Kovet Shemayim. The Beis HaMikdash was based to Tefarteinu, was the place of our glory, of our splendor. As long as Ra, as long as evil and darkness are shoilet, are ruling this world, as long as the world is in a state of hestaponim, of concealment, and the Shekhinah is not allowed to return to Yerushalayim, as long as Mashiach has not returned, has not come, there's no Simchin Shemai. So the mourning is not because there were buildings that were taken away and now we got them back. Because if that's the case, then it's true. We own the Harabayas. All right, there's an inconvenience because they built a mosque over there. We're trying to figure out what we could do about it. And we don't want to look bad in front of the whole world and so on. Our mourning was never because of buildings. Our mourning was never because of Gush V'Ofer, a clump of dirt. Our mourning was because the Beis HaMikdash was the depository of the Shekhinah, was the place of the Kodesh Kadoshim, of the Kruvim. It's the place of Kimitzion Teitzei Sarad V'Hashem Yerushalayim. And that's not here. We don't have that. So now we can begin to understand, Gevalt, what is it when we say Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah? Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah. That Rabbi Yossi said that Hashem is Baruch Hu screaming and crying about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And Eli Novi told him that you should know that when the Jewish people come to Shul, wherever they are, and they say, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah, that Hashem is Baruch, and with all of his crying, for a moment Hashem nods his head and says, Ashrei, Ashrei, Ashrei HaMelech, oh, how fortunate is the king that my children are saying, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah. May his name be sanctified and great from one world to the other world, from world to world. So listen carefully. The Maharal in Netzach Yisrael Perichov Beis. If you have a chance to take a look. The Maharal says that there is no greater praise of Hashem than Yehishmei Rab. The greatest praise for Hashem is Yehishmei Rab. And that's why the Gemara says you got to scream it, you got to yell Yehishmei Rab. Even for the individual person, it tears up all the decrees as we were talking about a little bit last week. And what is it about Yehishmei Rab, the Maharal asks, that's so powerful? So the Maharal says that Yehishmei Rab is the only shavach, is the only praise that the Jewish people have for Hashem that begins with a yud. Yehishmei Rab begins with a yud. And the Maharal says, well, what? So what? Because yud means olam haba, means the future, means the end of time. As Rashi says by Oz Yoshir Moshe of Neisrael. You remember? Oz Yoshir Moshe and the Jewish people will sing, and that's talking about when the dead will come back to life by the end of time, by olam haba. The word yud changes everything into the future. So what is that? So what about the future? What about the end of time? So the Maharal explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, when it says in the Torah, Az Yoshir, with a Yud, the meaning of that is that Moshe Rabbeinu recognized that the only time that there will be true simcha, true joy, true kovet shemayim in this world, where the glory and the splendor and the honor of Hashem will be revealed in its fullest way, the only time that can happen is loss of love was in the future. La'olam la'olme olmaya. Forever and ever and ever, which means, the Maharal says, that when you say Amen Yehishmei Rabba, the meaning of it is that you awaken, you inspire within yourself the longing to see the glory of Hashem, to see it the way it's supposed to be. It means I can't come to terms with the present. I can't be here. I can't be here emotionally. I can't be here intellectually and spiritually. My heart, my mind, my soul is la'olam la'olam elmaya, is gazing way beyond the Long Island Expressway, way beyond Kennedy Airport, and way beyond Yerushalayim the way that it is right now. My eyes are gazing upon Yerushalayim the way it's going to be. La'olam la'olam elmaya. With the yud of the future, of the end, where Kovet Shemayim will be really revealed. And it means I can't stand, I can't rejoice, im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach imini. Im layalas Yerushalayim al rei simchosi means that whenever I feel that sense of joy rising within me, I remember that the la'olam la'olam me'amaya hasn't been satisfied. All that's been satisfied is how I am right now, this moment. But for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Kovet Shemayim, for the way it's supposed to be, that's only la'olam la'olam elmaya, la'osit, in the future. So the person who feels that sigh, that anguish, that hishtoikikus, the longing, the she'ifa to see Kovet Shemayim in the world, a person like that can't possibly be satisfied with Eretz Yisrael the way that it is now. Can't possibly settle in Golus and feel that this is where I belong. And I'm not talking about those Jews who will criticize you. How come you're not moving? Why aren't you moving? That's not my way. What I ask of myself is not right now, it's not the question of whether or not I'm preparing a lift to go to Yerushalayim. Why aren't I moving inside myself back to Yerushalayim? Wherever I am. Why don't I have any more of that longing? Why aren't I looking forward to the day when Hashem's covenant will be restored with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, when Kovet Shemayim will be finally revealed with Mashiach Tzidkenu? How can I bear Eretz Yisrael the way that it is now? How can I come to terms with the goyla achar goyla that I've fallen into? That's the avelus. So that's the beginning of gula, that's the beginning of redemption. The beginning of redemption is the she'ifa for Yeheshmei Rabbim Avarach Lo'olam Lo'ol Me'al Maya. It means, I know that this is not the way it's supposed to be, this is not it. Yeheshmei Rabbim Avarach Lo'olam Lo'ol Me'al Maya, that Hashem's great name will be exalted Lo'olam Lo'ol Me'al Maya. And that pulls me away from my smallness. That pulls me away from the present. That pulls me away from what I see with my eyes. And it takes me to a place way, way beyond. It should be soon, the Mitzvah. That's the Eschalt of the Gula. The beginning of redemption was not 1948. The beginning of redemption... Redemption begins the moment within yourself, your heart and your mind return to Yerushalayim. The moment that your heart and your mind look forward to and want and wait with great hope for the future of Yerushalayim. For Mashiach Tzidkenu. That's the beginning of redemption. Not when people sign a paper. You know, you all know that God's name wasn't even allowed to be mentioned beferish in the Declaration of Independence in the State of Israel. God's name wasn't even allowed in there. They had to hide it in Tzur Yisrael, the Rock of Israel. That's not a bizarre, that's not a disgrace for Kovet Shemayim that Jews were fighting and yelling, that some said, Rabbi Maimon said, we have to put God's name, we should put God's name. He said, we're not putting God's name. So finally they settled on putting Rock of Israel because it's not one of God's holy names. That's enough for you? From that you feel that we're there, we're here, this is it? This is Yerushalayim? Because there's a soul, because it says in flowers, Bruchim Aboyim, that means that Mashiach has come. And I don't want you to make a mistake to think that I'm talking about anything political. Because I know there are some people who will say that and think that. I don't talk about politics, I hate politics. And I don't care about politics. So don't give yourself, if there's anybody here, one of you, God forbid, who wants to comfort yourself to say, well, what Weinberg is talking about, you know, he's very much to the right, he has that opinion. I'm not talking about politics, I'm talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Is that politics? I'm talking about Yerushalayim, about Mashiach Tzidkenu. If you don't believe in that, then Chalila, it has nothing to do with governments, it has nothing to do with political parties. It's way beyond that. If you fill yourself with a longing and a desire for the holiness of Yerushalayim by participating in what Yerushalayim is right now, that's your belief. There are tzaddikim who felt that way. Gesunte Heit, I'm not fighting with that. I'm talking about what's missing from our hearts. And I insist and I believe, and I'm sure that most of you, all of you, will agree that the situation right now is not the solution to Golus. And I think back now on the simcha that I felt when this last election took place, that I too was among those who rejoiced. I was happy because I felt that now the yeshivas will get some more money. That's honestly why I was happy. Goyle acha, goyle disappointment after disappointment. Adayin lo nirshal Mashiach hasn't come. Not Rabin and not Netanyahu, Yibor l'chaim. Not one, not the other. Goyle acha, goyle. And if you think so, then you're in that second Golus. And that's the connection to this week's parasha that's coming up. The parasha of Nedarim. All of Golus is a neder that Hashem took of. I spoke about it once before Yom Kippur around 5 or 6 years ago. 5 years ago. I'm not going to talk about it at length now. When you say Kol Nidre Yom Kippur, according to the Zohar Kodesh, when you're saying Kol Nidre, we're trying to release Hashem from the oath that He made that the Jewish people have to suffer in exile. Mimei, for Hashem calls out to the Jewish people, Erev Yom Kippur, can somebody please come and nullify my vow? Can somebody nullify my vow? The vow that Hashem made. But you know what you learned from the Dharm? It's late. I'm sure you're all as tired, if not more tired than I am. What a neder means, an oath. You know, there are different types of oaths. It's very complicated. area of halachas, mesechta, very difficult mesechta in the dark. It's a psak din of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says in Yerideya, Siman Reish Dalet at the beginning, Ikar Neder, the essence of the Neder, of the oath, Ikar HaNeder HaOmer B'Torah, the essence of the Neder, of the oath, that can be made by a person according to the Torah, Hu Sheyat Biz B'Dovra HaNeder K'goyin Sheomer Kikar Ze Olai K'Karb. The essential Neder, the real Neder, according to the Torah, is when a person takes an object and he says, he takes this book, or he takes a loaf of bread, that's the example in Shulchan Aruch, and says that this book, this loaf of bread, is in relationship to me, kikarbon, like a carbon, like a sacrifice. In other words, let me explain. Some people think that an oath, and that there is only something is awesome. I make an oath. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink this. I'm not going to go to that place. It's an oath. It's an oath. But what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, and I just read the Pesach in the Shulchan Aruch. Of course, it's a sugi and Shas, it's a Rambam and so on. But I just read the Shulchan Aruch because it's one sentence and very clear. What does it mean? The essence of a nether is, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, Ikar HaNeder. The essence of a nether is not only that this thing is forbidden to me. It's not stam, it's forbidden. It's that I have the ability by the words of my mouth, by the intentions of my heart, I have the ability to take something way outside Yerushalayim, has nothing to do Yerushalayim. I'm able to take something that I want to be treated in a distinctive, special way. I can take that and make it as if it has, there's a chalois kedusha b'karbon. In other words, the holiness, so to speak, the holiness of a carbon, of a sacrifice, descends upon this book, or this loaf of bread, or this table. That's what it means in Shulchan Aruch. Hu sheyat biz bedovra hanodur kegoyin sheomer kika zeralai kikarbon. That this loaf of bread is like a carbon. And that means there's something extraordinary that's taking place. If I would be living at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and I would want to bring a carbon, a sacrifice, so that everybody here knows that there are many, many laws regarding the type of animal, its condition, how old it is, what, right? All of these, there are many, many laws. You can't, where you are, who's going to bring the carbon. Many, many thousands of laws. But you know what the Dharma reveals to us? The Dharma reveals, the laws of oaths reveals to us the power of Ratzon, of will, of desire. That you could be standing a million miles away. You could be standing someplace out on a different planet. And you say, Kika Zeb. You could say, this moon rock is all like a carbon. It has a din of a carbon, of a sacrifice. And according to Halacha, there's a chalois, shem, kedushas, carbon. There's a holiness that descends upon that object. Because I want it to be that way. Because I've expressed my longing and my desire that this should be this way, and it will be that way. The koyach of a person's rotzen to change all that is impure and to give it and to infuse it with the holiness of a carbon that can be brought in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash, when we have no Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim is in ruins. That's the power of a neder. Every year, I don't remember it was last year, but I tried to read to you a sentence from the Siddur Rabbi Yaakov Emden. I'm going to finish, and it was very late, I'm sorry. I'm going to finish in a minute. I want to read to you a sentence from Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur. In the section of the Halachos of Tisha B'Av. V'kan mokum sheroi laharchev v'yadibur l'molilah, he says, here I really need to speak. If this would be the only sin that the Jewish people were guilty of, that we do not mourn properly, we don't long properly for Yerushalayim, it would be reason enough to explain the length, the horrible length of our galus. He's talking 200 years before the Holocaust. V'hi be'einai, listen to what Rabbi Yaakov Emden says. And in my eyes, v'hi be'enai hasiba kroyva hayoyis egluya atzuma v'chazoka. That in my eyes, this is the most revealed, the most powerful and awesome reason, l'chol hashmodas hamuflogas, to all the horrible persecutions, hagedoylas hanayros, the horrible, unspeakable persecutions of the Jewish people, hamavhilos harayonim, that cause us to be filled with horror, to even think about what the Jewish people have gone through. That have befallen us in all the places of our exile. That we are continuously pursued, persecuted. That we're not even allowed to remain quiet in our lowly state among the nations. Why? Because this morning of Yerushalayim has left our hearts. Because we feel comfortable, we feel at peace in lands that are not ours, that don't belong to us. Shachachnu is Yerushalayim, we have forgotten Yerushalayim. V'lo ol tzal v'aveinu, and it doesn't even enter our hearts. Al kein, therefore, kemes mi lev nishkachnu. Kemes mi lev nishkachnu. That we are like dead people who have been forgotten by God. Midor l'dor noisef yogan al yganeinu umachaveinu. Each generation is more misery, more suffering. V'chol ohev emes yodel l'dvareinu. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, whoever loves the truth will agree, will admit that what I'm telling you is the truth. Therefore, our responsibility now is not to worry about how can I possibly go on that picnic I wanted to in 2 weeks. I have to find a rav that will permit it. Our responsibility is to try to say Amen Yehi Shmei Rab. And our lives become meaningful only with that neder, with that longing, with that oath. And if we engage in that oathful way of wanting to change things, of wanting to see the Kavod Shemayim revealed, of wanting to see Mashiach Tzidkenu, to see Yerushalayim the way she's really supposed to be, of wanting to see the Shechina return, then that's the greatest, greatest thing we could do to release Hashem from his neder, from his oath of galus. And if our lives are to be meaningful here, it's only if we're living here, but we're not here. But if we're living here and we actually are living here, then we're in big trouble. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmonis on the Sheiris Yisrael. He should save us and redeem us for the sake of His holy name, for the sake of Yerushalayim. We should be zeichet to see the building of Yerushalayim. We should be zeichet to see the descent of the third Beis Hamikdash. Boni u'mashuchlal from Shemayim, with all of its splendor and all of its glory, so that Hashem Yisbarach could take pride in each and every one of us, and that each and every one of us could be on that list of ish ish yulad bar. That we will be called the natives of Yerushalayim, even though we're so far that Hashem will still look at us as the natives of Yerushalayim. We should be zeichem as Hashem for the gula hashlem v'amitis v'mehem yameinu amein v'amein.